So, Father, we thank you for Sunday mornings, and thank you for services, and thank you, Lord, for song and prayer and things we can read together and presentations that we can listen to and, Father, be stirred and inspired. And thank you, Lord, also that we gather around your word every Sunday here. We read it, and then we try and apply it to our lives. So help us this morning in a few moments as Allison reads that word for us and as we reflect on that word together. Give us ears to hear, give us hearts that will embrace, and give us lives that will live out the reality of what you're saying to us. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen. So this morning we're going to read in a few moments from both the Old Testament and the New Testament, from Isaiah chapter 44, and then a few verses also from Romans chapter 14. We'll get to that in a few moments. Just to remind us, maybe bring us up to speed into where we are this morning, we started last week a message, 5 Sundays, looking at the theme of faith formation. You might call it discipleship. You might call it living out the Christian life. We're calling it faith formation. We're called to be a people of faith and a community of faith. We're called to be people who walk by faith. And so we're wondering, what does that look like? And last week, Angela shared with us the big vision of faith formation, really the big vision of the Christian life, that we be transformed and changed into the image of Jesus, which maybe doesn't sound really specific. Like I'm hoping that kind of vision catches our attention, but we want to spend some time in the coming weeks unpacking that. Jesus is the one, the Bible tells us, who most fully and perfectly shows us what it means to be made in the image of God. He is the perfect image bearer. And because he is the perfect image of God, and since the vision is to be transformed into his image, really the call of the Christian life and the call of faith formation is to live a fully human life, which I love. I love that call that Jesus gives us into true and full humanness. And so in the next 4 Sundays, starting today, we're going to talk about building blocks, or what does that look like? And we're going to be using some graphics and then looking at the Word of God, the Bible, to unpack some of that. So what would it look like, or what do we need to grow in our faith? And so this morning, we're going to be looking at the first building block on the bottom left corner of the screen, I belong, symbolized by the elements or the bread and the juice from the Lord's Supper, the table of Jesus. And then bottom right corner, next week Sunday, I know and understand the Bible, a book there about the Bible, with a fire, the Spirit of Jesus in it. And then 2 weeks from now, I have hope. The top right corner, someone showing they have hope. And then the final week, I am called and equipped, the top left corner, hands together in a circle, and again, the Spirit of Jesus, that fire in the middle. So this morning, we begin with the building block, I belong. It is the first building block. I consider it the most important building block, and also the one we have to keep coming back to again and again and again in our lives if we really want to be deeply formed as people who believe in Jesus Christ. So let me invite Allison to come and read both from Isaiah, but also the book of Romans.
Verses 1 to 5. But now listen, Jacob, my servant, Israel, whom I have chosen. This is what the Lord says. He who made you, who formed you in the womb, and who helped you, do not be afraid, Jacob, my servant, Jeshurun, who I have chosen. For I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessings on your descendants. They will spring up like grass in a meadow, like poplar trees by flowering streams. Some will say, I belong to the Lord. Others will call themselves by the name of Jacob. Still others will write on their hand, the Lord's, and will take the name Israel. And Romans chapter 14, verses 1 to 9. Accept the one whose faith is weak, without quarreling over disputable matters. One person's faith allows them to eat anything, but another whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. The one who eats everything must not treat with contempt the one who does not, and the one who does not eat everything must not judge the one who does. For God has accepted them. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To their own master, servants stand or fall. And they will stand, for the Lord is able to make them stand. One person considers one day more sacred than another. Another considers them all alike. Each of them should be fully convinced in their own mind. Whoever regards one day as special does so to the Lord. Whoever eats meat does so to the Lord, for they give thanks to God, and whoever abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives for ourselves alone, and none of us dies for ourselves alone. If we live, we live for the Lord, and if we die, we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life so that he might be the Lord of both the living and the dead. This is the word of the Lord.
Be to God. I want to ask you to think about relationships in your life, friendships or relationships at school or in your family, or if you're married, your marriage relationship, or even interactions here, if you're a member of Nelson Avenue, in a church community. And I'm wondering this morning, as we think about these relationships, how do most of our relationships work? Or maybe I shouldn't say most, how do some of them, or maybe many of them, work? And there are different answers to that. But this morning I want to suggest that one way that our relationships work is relationships that are based on performance. By that I mean that there are times when we're in relationship to someone where we might say, I like you and I accept you if you perform and behave in a certain way. Or you like me and you accept me if I perform and behave in a certain way. So if we're doing this together, if we're performing properly and correctly, then we're going to get along. Everything's going to be okay. But if I don't perform or don't behave the way you want me to or the way you expect me to, then we're not going to feel the love. We aren't going to feel the acceptance. We aren't going to feel that we belong. And we can call this relationships based on performance or behavior. I might also call this relationships based on religion. Because for many people, religion is the way that we relate to God and sometimes also to each other, based on how well I behave or how well I perform, based on what I do. And if this is true, if some of our relationships, or many of them, are based on performance, then we can maybe understand why sometimes relationships are full of stress, anxiety, uncertainty, and tension. Because we never know if we're really accepted or if we're accepted because we're performing as people want us to. We never know, have I done enough to win the approval of the other person or the other persons, the group of people? And this becomes an awful way to live life. Someone asked me once, if I give more money to the church, will you and the leaders of the church come and visit me more? Now that's a question that assumes that relationship between them and me or them and the church leadership is based on performance. If they give more money, more people will show up in their lives. And I was a little shocked by that question. But then I thought, do people think that's how the church operates? Or do we in the church give the impression that's the way that relationships work? And if this is true in our relationships with each other, I think it's also true as some of us, maybe more of us, think about how we relate to God. Now, I hear this sometimes when I listen to people, you know, ask the question, and these are Christian believers, but I ask them, or someone asks them, are you a Christian? And they are Christian. You know, they believe in Jesus, and they do Christian things, and they're asked, are you a Christian? And sometimes what I hear is, I'm trying to be. I'm trying to be a good Christian. I'm giving it all I have. Or the question, how do you know that God's going to grant you eternal life in the future? And the responses sometimes are, I really hope so. I'm really giving it my best shot. I'm really trying and trying and trying. I hope that I make it. And all of these responses convey understanding that our relationship with God is also based on performance. And if that's how we think about us and God, then again, it makes sense that people, when they think about the relationship with God, it's a relationship full of dread and anxiety and insecurity and stress, because I never know. I never know if I've done enough. And the story of the Bible, I believe if we read it properly, again and again and again tells us that our relationship with God, but also our relationship with each other, is not meant to be based on performance. It's meant to be based on what the Bible calls grace or gift. And we can go to various stories that highlight this. One verse from Ephesians chapter 2 that helps me understand it says, it's by grace that we have, or you have, been saved. Or we might say this morning, it is by grace that we have been accepted. It's by grace that we belong. And this is not from yourselves or from ourselves. It is the gift of God. And the scriptures we read this morning that Allison read for us also make this same kind of message, tells us the same message. This, maybe for some of us, this obscure passage from Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, it is a vision of what's going to happen one day when God renews the world and renews relationship with Him. The final verse that Allison read there from Isaiah 44 verse 5 says, some will say, I belong to the Lord. Others will call themselves by the name of Jacob. Still others will write on their hand, the Lord's, and will take the name Israel. So all kinds of renewal is happening and refreshment is happening. And part of that is people in the relationship with God are no longer fearful of God, no longer running away from God, no longer God is far away, but I am with the Lord. I belong to God because He is doing something. And if we take language from other parts of the Bible, I belong to His kingdom. I belong to His family. I belong to what He is doing in the world. Or from Romans chapter 14, the context of the verses are all about kind of squabbles and quarrels going on in the church. You know, can we eat any kind of food? Or should we eat only vegetables? Is every day sacred, or are there only certain days that are sacred? And the author recognizes these things are happening, and they just continue to happen in the life of the church. Squabbles and quarrels. And he tries to center them. He says in verses 7 and 8, none of us lives for ourselves alone. None of us dies for ourselves alone. If we live, we live for the Lord. If we die, we die for the Lord. So whether you're living or dying, believe we belong to the Lord. So I recognize that there are squabbles and things happening in the church there in Rome, but keep this main thing the main thing. Whatever you think about these squabbles and quarrels, whatever side you're on, believe that you belong to Jesus Christ. And this, of course, ties in so well to the reading we just did a few moments ago from the Heidelberg Catechism, question and answer number one. Thank you, Angela, for leading us in that. I know maybe for some of us, we hear Heidelberg Catechism. What is that? Maybe a little bit confusing. A catechism is just basic Christian teaching. And I commend, whether it's this catechism or some other catechism to us, just to help answer questions like, who is God? Or who is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit? What is baptism? What does it look like to pray? And questions like that, very basic Christian teaching. And important for us to recognize this morning, the catechism doesn't begin by asking the question, what do I have to do to get into what God is doing? Or what do I have to do for God to like me, love me? What do I have to do so that I belong to God? If the catechism began that way, it would be a catechism based on performance or duty or doing or what I call religion. Rather, the catechism says, what's my only comfort? What's my only hope? What's my only security? And as we read the response, I'm just going to look at the first slide here of this response. I'm not my own. I'm not calling the shots of my own life even. I'm not my own. I belong to someone else. I belong, and I love this language, body and soul. We are not people for whom Jesus comes just to rescue our souls. We have to stop using that language, actually. God comes in Jesus Christ to rescue our body and our soul, all of us. And I belong, all of me, in life and in death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. These are great words, and I commend them to us. We belong to God through Jesus, not because we're so great, not because we're such good people, not because we keep trying and trying and trying and trying, but we belong to Jesus, and I'm going to say it this way this morning, because Jesus is so great. He is so good. He has not just tried harder, harder, harder. He has actually lived the perfect human life. Again, truly in the image of God. He has sacrificed his life, as the catechism says. He's fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood. He has won the victory. The catechism says he has set me free from the devil. And he is caring for me. He's watching over me. And this sense of belonging to God through Jesus, because of Jesus, is reflected in the language the Bible uses for Christian believers. So Christian believers, we're believers, and we're followers, and we're disciples, and we might say we're friends of Jesus, but the deepest language, the best language the Bible uses to tell us we're accepted by God is when the Bible uses the language of the family. So from Galatians chapter 4, verse 7, you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you an heir. You are no longer related to God or connected to God through performance. I'm going to say through religion, through doing stuff. But you are God's child through the gospel, through the grace of Jesus Christ, through the adoption through Jesus into the family of God. And one huge implication, taking these different verses together and putting in there the catechism question and answer, one huge implication is that we don't perform for God. We don't act and do and live so that God will like us or love us, so that we will belong. Rather, the Bible uses different words. It's through grace. It's through faith. It's through the mercy and kindness of God. It's through the gift of salvation. It's through the obedience, the performance, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ that God accepts us and we belong to him. So we can say with Philip Yancey, the Christian author, grace means there's nothing I can do to make God love me more. And there's nothing I can do to make God love me less. It's not about doing more, performing more. And then the quote actually goes on. I don't have it on the screen here, but it says, grace means that I, who deserve the opposite of grace, even I am invited to take my place at the table in God's family. Now, I find that so powerful because it connects me to the table of Jesus. This, what we call the Lord's Supper. And this table of Jesus is meant to be a table of invitation. It's meant to be a table of welcome and belonging. And the more I think about that, the more I realize the table of Jesus, if it is a table of invitation and welcome and belonging, if we really believe that, for those of us who participate in the table of Jesus, if we really get a sense of that, then that table of Jesus is meant to overflow also into our lives. This is what the gospel is meant to do in our lives. If we come to the table and we receive the welcome of God, we realize we belong to God through Jesus, then that same kind of gospel grace is meant to be in our tables, our homes, our lives. The welcome, the inclusion, the invitation, the belonging, the same message. And so we can also, I hope, agree, and I've shared this quote before, but I find it has done a refreshing, a renewing work in terms of how I think of religion and the gospel. We can listen to Pastor Tim Keller, who says, religion works this way. If I obey, then God will love and accept me. I think there's people, maybe even of some of us this morning, who we live our lives this way. Right? This is, if I obey, if I perform, if I do, then God's going to love and accept me. The gospel of Jesus is, I'm loved and accepted through Christ. Therefore, I want to obey. And one, another implication is that if we would really believe this grace and this gospel, we aren't connected to God through performance, but we're connected to God, we belong to God through the grace of Jesus, it will revolutionize the way we think about God, our relationship to God, but also how we think about each other. So imagine never asking again, does God love me? Am I good enough? Have I done enough? Have I performed well enough this day and this week? But imagine believing deeply, because of Jesus, I am and will ever be, forever be, fully accepted by the Father. That through Jesus, I fully belong to God the Father. Because of Jesus, the Father will never let me go. Because of Jesus, the Father is 100% for me. Because of Christ, I never have to fear someday that the Father might cut me off. He might say, no. You were in, but now you're out. I was at someone's place recently, and I saw this mug. I took a picture of it. The mug says, "I belong to you." Now, I asked the person who owns the mug to walk around today before and after the service. I want to see if you can find who the owner of the mug is. Of course, as you can see, the mug is not meant to tell us, the message of the mug is not meant to tell us, "I belong to you and I don't like it." Right? It's meant to be, "I belong to you and all right, this is good. I'm glad." Even that little puzzle piece, "I belong to you and something is connected in my life." And healthy friendships, healthy communities, healthy churches have this sense of belonging at the center. I belong to you. You belong to me. And especially in a church community, we belong to God through Jesus Christ. And this sense of belonging, I don't think should surprise us. We know from our own lives, our own experience, but also through research, that relationships only grow in the context of deep and meaningful belonging. So research has shown us that children who don't feel connected to their parents, who don't feel attached to them, children who don't feel that, they don't thrive. They feel adrift. They feel aimless. Children develop best in the context of sure and certain acceptance. And same with youth and adolescents. Especially, for those of us who have gone through it, but also we read that in those teenage years, they're asking the question, "Who am I? Who am I?" And the question of who am I or identity formation happens best, gets answered when the community around youth and adolescents accepts them, attaches to them, where they feel they belong. And this is what our children's and youth ministries at Nelson Avenue seek to do: teach kids and youth, disciple them, equip them, yes, 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 but also more broadly surround children and youth with a sense of you are loved, you are accepted, you belong to God through Jesus, and you belong to us. Now, I'm sure that some of us, maybe all of us, this past week have been thinking about that awful bus crash last weekend. I think 16 hockey players, coaches, and staff killed in that crash. For me, beyond awful and terrible. In the midst of the awful story, I've been amazed by two things. One of them is that I've heard people talk about God. They've talked about faith. They've even mentioned the name of Jesus Christ. The second thing that has amazed me is the sense of belonging. Right? These hockey players belong to us. Whether or not they lived here, they were here for a season or two or longer, they were staying with people in this small community, and they belong to us. And this team, they had a sense they belong to each other. And I'm suggesting this morning that as we think about this building block of I belong, it is the most important building block because without it, we will not grow in our faith. We will not venture into the Christian life because we'll always be wondering and doubting and not sure if God really accepts us. We will not be willing to go, as C.S. Lewis said, further up and further in into the great adventure. If we don't know whether or not we belong to God, we are left adrift in the world. We're blown here and there by the winds around us. We feel insecure, unsettled, and we keep asking and wondering, am I really accepted? Do I really belong to God? But if we really do believe it, if we were really to believe that through Jesus, God has made a way to fully accept us, fully belong to Him, we will draw near to Him, and we will listen to Him, and we will follow His Son. This morning, I want to suggest that this belonging to God, this gift that God gives us, is meant to give us incredible security through all the seasons of our lives, that God will never let me go, that I belong to Him now and into eternity, and that nothing can separate me from His love and grace and presence. And this morning, I want to invite us to believe that. Maybe in a new way, a renewed way, maybe for the first time, but to believe that through Jesus, we belong to God the Father. But I also want us to believe something else. I want us to believe that if we belong to God the Father through Jesus, we also belong to each other. If we belong to God the Father through Jesus, that we also belong to each other. Now that's meant to be also good news for us, believe it or not. If Jesus is the one who makes us through His work, if He makes us the sons and daughters of God, sons and daughters of the Father, if we are brought into the family of God through Jesus the Christ, then we're brothers and sisters, right? If I'm a son, you're a son, you're a daughter, you're a daughter. If we're sons and daughters in the same family, then we're brothers and sisters. And this is the language of the New Testament over and over again. Just one verse earlier in the book of Romans. I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Now, for the last few years, we've gone outside, typically end of September, and we've taken this picture of the church community. And I know every year it's a bit of work to get everybody out there and get everybody set up and take this picture. But I'm really thankful we do it. Because once in a while, I look at the picture. And this morning, I want to ask us if we have fresh eyes to look at the picture, if you can see it. Maybe we got to bring down some lights here in the front so we can maybe see a little better. We don't typically at Nelson Avenue call each other brother and sister, except if it's just a joke, you know. But we don't typically do that, I don't think. Other church communities do that. They much more readily say, Brother Nestor, good morning. Or, you know, I could just go around the church here and use that. But this morning, I'm not saying we start using that language, but the reality of being brothers and sisters is something that I want to call us to. That if we believe we belong to God, not just me, not just you, but we belong to God through Jesus, and we are really brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, through grace, through a gift. It's actually good news. It's good news. Then we would treat each other in ways that show that. And there are so many ways we already do that. And there's also so many ways that we could keep on doing that or finding new ways to do that. But let me just remind us of some ways. Belonging to God and Jesus, belonging to each other through Jesus, how do we communicate that we belong together? That we really believe this good news? I'm hoping Shemaiah won't leave, if possible. I was thinking this morning, I love the sound of kids in the service. So I love to hear children and babies making noise in the service. Well, maybe he is leaving, but oh, okay, that's all right. I don't want him to leave. If he's willing to stay, you're willing to have him. I'd love to have him here. Some of the things we do to tell each other we belong to each other. We acknowledge each other. We learn the names of each other. And I was thinking about a TV show I used to watch. It was set in a bar. Set in a pub. Maybe, I know not all of you have seen this, but I'm thinking about the TV show Cheers. And there was one character on the TV show, his name was Norm. And I don't know why it was just him, right? But whenever Norm came into the door in the back there, the back of the stage, you walked in and everyone said, Norm! Now, why it didn't happen to other characters, I don't know. But every time he walked into the bar, or walked into the pub, everyone said, Norm! And it was kind of funny. But I also thought, man, that's belonging. That's belonging. To have your name by a number of people every time you walk in the room. It wasn't like, oh, Norm. Norm! And I think that God wants us to hear him saying our names in the same way. I know that sounds weird for some of us. You're taking a TV show set in a bar and using this example to say that's what God wants to do. I think it is. I think God wants us to hear our names in that same way. You belong to me, James. He wants us to hear the same thing. And sometimes, for some of us, the only way we'll hear it is if another human being says our name like that. So we need to say our names. And sometimes when we walk into a room, Jan! To say the name. We acknowledge each other. We say our names. We talk to each other. We listen to each other. We pray together. We eat together. We learn together. We serve together. We clean up the church and our community together in a few weeks, in a couple of weeks here. We weep and mourn together. We visit each other. We rejoice together. And the list goes on. And we keep telling each other through all these things, you belong to Jesus Christ, and so do I. And if you can spot them, I want us to be thinking about children and youth this morning. That we look at them, and I just keep saying, as I said to someone last week, you are the church of today. Certainly the church of tomorrow, but the church of today. And the way we remember kids' names and acknowledge them and do ministry with them. And the seniors also, we look at them, we find them here on the picture, maybe we say their name hopefully, and we say, you are not over the hill. You are not past your prime. Don't listen to the culture. You belong to us. You belong to Jesus. And we find people with disabilities on the picture or in our community, and we say, you belong to us. This is a place for you. Don't listen to our culture. And we look on the picture, we look around us, and we think about people we don't get along with so well, and we say, you belong to me. And I belong to you. And we belong to Jesus. So I'm going to ask us this morning to not just believe that, but also to rejoice in this. Belonging to Jesus and belonging to each other.